Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Blog Talk is up now. It took out everything I had put in, so I had to completely reset up, and then it overlapped, so I had one playing on top of the other. Okay. I can hear you. Could you hear me? Blog Talk is going right now, yes. Can you hear me? Two hours. What happened is when I went to get the phone number, it erased everything I had, so I had to go in and reset it up. It took everything out. And then, you know how when you go to hit go, it slides everything and then takes away your little dial pad. It took that away. So then I pulled up another, got it to restart, and then it overlapped it. Anyways, it was a big mess. So I had to, I'll talk to you later. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, ish. Can you hear him, Sunday?
Testing 1, 2, 3.
I can hear you, but it's very faint.
Hold on just a second.
Sorry, what did you say, Sunday?
Can you hear me now?
I can. Can you hear, Sunday?
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Can you hear me?
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I can hear you very clearly.
Oh. Okay.
So I don't know how to tell you to put me
no,
on that speakerphone.
Now Sunday's gone too.
Can you put me on the little speaker?
Yeah.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Well, welcome everybody on Blog Talk Radio. We'll get all of this edited off the front. It's all right. Just the fun part about being mobile in a place that doesn't have signal that should have signal. No reason why in this little town there's not full bars of signal. Somebody in North Dakota just doesn't think that it's important. Can you hear me yet, love?
I can hear you now very well.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
I can hear you well.
All right.
With this.
I can hear.
You can? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, well, this is a new experience. Since we went live, I don't know that I've ever been on Blog Talk Radio and everybody else on Zoom, have I?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. Brother Dan was always on Blog Talk Radio with us there for a while.
Yeah, he did Blog Talk a lot.
Just so you know, Brother Dan, you did well over there.
Mm-hmm.
We're proud of you over there. Now, for all of those of you who are joining us around the world, And right here in the United States of America, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad to have you with us tonight. This is the same program, even though you can't see me. But what we're going to do is the same thing we always do, and that's open up the Word of God and get to studying so that we can walk in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, somehow I'm getting background noise there, love. But that's probably just because you're in the room, right?
I'm in what room?
And so there's no way to get around that, because I got to have you there to run the show and everything. So if it's okay, just don't bang things around with a hammer.
Can you still hear it now? I muted the monitor. Is that better?
Yeah, whatever you just did, change something.
Okay.
You got to make sure you're getting sound through to everybody else. Is YouTube up with us?
YouTube is not up, no.
All right.
Do you want me to start YouTube?
Yeah, might as well. We got Blog Talk Radio going. Might as well get started. Might as well get to preaching. Welcome, everybody. It's good to have you with us here on another in the series of Establishing Your Faith. That's what this program is all about, is establishing your faith and God. And we want to see you established in the things of God beyond anything you've ever seen or known. And you know what's amazing about our God is He can make it happen. He really truly can make it happen. And thank God for all of His blessing and help and strength and wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And if you haven't looked back at your life since you got here, so you can realize just exactly how you have grown. This is why we say it, but it's really not why we say it. It's why the Holy Spirit of God says, get yourself a notebook and take some notes, because then you get to see and judge how far you've grown. But if you don't write anything down, go ahead.
We're getting some extreme feedback or something. Something is echoing, coming through you.
Coming from me. It's circling in the room there somewhere.
Yeah, it was YouTube starting up, doing its echo thing. That's what it was. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
All right, YouTube started?
YouTube is started, yes.
All right. Did the echo go away?
Yes.
All right. Now, where was I? It's so important that every person take notes for themselves. You cannot in any way depend on somebody else. I'm getting some of that background backfeed noise again, love.
I don't know what to do. I'm the only one
it's
in
YouTube.
The room, and I'm just sitting at the desk.
No, it's not you. It's something to do with one of the apps. Is YouTube muted?
YouTube is muted. Hi, Roger.
All right.
Hi, John. Hi, Dan. Glad to have you.
Hi, Roger, Don, and Dan. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to have you with us tonight. Make sure you have them give us a good understanding of how the sound is coming through.
Yeah. Do you guys have decent sound?
Because if you can hear, if they can hear me all right, then everything's going good. And the sounds we hear, who knows what they are? It doesn't matter. It's not going to stop the word of God, that's for sure.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. It might be that I have this speaker too far away. Let me try moving.
Make sure everybody's mic is muted for Zoom.
It is.
All right, that's cool. All right, what did he say?
He said that he could hear me good, but you're breaking up a lot.
That might just be my signal. I have really bad signal. Only two bars. But you're hearing me all right.
I can hear you good. I bet it's my speaker here. See how this is. Is that better? To talk and see if Dan can hear you better now.
Yeah, okay. All right, so here's what we got to do is just do some friendly update talking and encourage everybody in the Lord, and then we'll go live on the Word of God here in a minute. But don't worry. We're skilled at this. We know what we're doing. We've been down this road many times before, and we'll go down this road again and make this happen.
Dan said you sound good now.
All right. Let me do one more thing. I didn't get that.
You didn't get what? I don't know.
Sound like somebody was talking.
Oh. I didn't hear anybody. Here comes Miss Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary. I'm good. How are you? It's good to hear you.
It's really wild.
And we declare everything is set in order and perfect in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. You know what's good about being on Blog Talk Radio?
What?
I get to eat M&Ms and nobody will see it.
We'll probably hear it, though.
Can you tell how many I've already eaten?
You know, I can tell the difference between the new programs and the recorded programs.
What can you tell the difference?
Pardon me?
What can you tell the difference?
The haircut.
Oh, yeah. Or the non-haircut.
Bless you, Mary.
Roger
all right,
says, Mary, God's a blessing to you and your family and friends. Love you all.
God bless you too, Roger.
Hello, Mary.
All right, so.
Hi there. I'm seriously trying to adjust to life, and I'm struggling, but God's got me, so I'm okay. Just moving a little slower.
All right, so here we go, guys. I have got to get started. so that we can make this happen, because I only got so much time on Blog Talk Radio. So, welcome, everybody. I want us to pray for Mary right now and for everybody else that's dealing with very specific life. What's the word you're going to give me here, Father? Life. Let's just deal with that and let's just pray. Father, thank you that Mary's with us tonight.
Yes.
Thank you that she has reminded us to pray for those in our lives who are in the midst of a serious battle. And it's life, it's real, and it's daily, and they're adjusting to a new set of situations and circumstances. And as you said on this earth, Jesus, you would look at people and say to you, or be healed, or be thou made whole, or thy sins forgiven you. We declare right now, just like you did, life and life more abundantly in the lives of every person that is here with us in Jesus' mighty name. Anybody that will come and hear this video again, if you're dealing with serious issues of life, and it doesn't matter, health, finances, marriage, family, children, business, job, your executive, whatever it is, you know, we declare right now in Jesus' mighty name, we declare life and life more abundantly into your lives right now, today. I would say to you, lift your hands and just say, I receive the abundant life of God inside of me in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that it doesn't matter what has happened, gone on, who's betrayed us, what doesn't seem to work anymore, our loved ones gone to heaven. You are the same, and you have come and made your abode on the inside of us. Thank you, Lord. We didn't just get a cute little religious indoctrination when we were born again, but literally, you, Jesus, and God our Father, by the Holy Spirit, came and made your abode within us, so that what is going on is we are having a relationship with you, God Almighty, God our Father. And as the book of John chapter 4 says, that you, Father, are seeking those who will live a life of worship, live a life of perfect one-to-one relationship with you. Thank you that we get to be one with you.
Yeah.
Told us that you, yeah, Jesus, would come and make your abode within us. You would come and you would bring that life, and that life more abundantly from the inside out. Thank you for Romans 8:11 that says, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of our mortal bodies, giving us life. And I declare that ourselves, just put your hands on yourself and just make this statement there in your own home. Just make this. Put your hands on yourself and say, body, receive the abundant life of God in the mighty name of
Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you paid all the price. You have done all the work. You have already done it all. And all we've got to do is avail ourselves to the work that's already done. We have an inheritance that fades not away. and is incorruptible in the word of God by the exceedingly great and precious promises of God. We speak it over John Wehner and all of his life and family, his job. We speak it over Roger Oxy and his life and family. We speak it over Sister Sunday Geyser and all of her family, Brother Dan and Sister Gwen and all of their families. We speak it over Mary, Pastor Rick and her families, all of it. We speak it over Sister Kathy Angaroni and James and Felicia Eicher, Sally Rice, Rebecca and Christine. We speak it over Donna Howie Schubeck in the mighty name of Jesus. Maxine, Julian Embermel. Here we go down the list of name and names. Who did I forget, love?
Kathy.
Yeah, he said Kathy.
Thank you, Father. Thank you. All of our loved ones and friends. Every person that comes to this. All 53 nations of the world, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty name
of
Jesus.
We bless you today. And we declare the blessing of the Lord that makes rich adds no sorrow with it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Now, I need to get right to the teaching because I only got so much time here, and I want to be able to get done before that 90-second lady comes on and says, 90 seconds. And so let's get right to the Word of God. Make sure you got a piece of paper and a pen that you can write down these references and begin to study them. Remember, as we have been studying now for quite a while, we continually come across this verse that makes this statement. Be careful not to let these things slip. Now, you might not remember that, you might not remember that verse, but we continually are coming by that. Why? Because it is a very, very, very important part of the kingdom of God. And God has done all of the work for us. But you and I, as we studied last night in the book of Revelation, you and I learn that we must overcome. It's not automatic. To him who overcomes. All you got to do is walk with God, stay in the things of God. It's automatic. But if you look at your Christian life as if I got saved, that's all I got to do, and now I'm going to go back to living my life. I'll make sure to stop by church on Sunday and say hi, and then I'll keep right on going. Well, there's more to the Christian life than getting born again. All born again did was give you the very first step to your Christian life. From that day forward, it is you and I learning to have a relationship of oneness with our Father. And I know the Baptists and Methodists and Pentecostals and Charismaniacs and all your old mainline doctrine denominations have said the only thing that's important is to be born again. Well, it is the first most important step, but it's just that only perfect first step. All right. So I'm looking. I seem to do this a lot. That there's a verse that says, be careful not to let these things slip. But, of course, I'm not sure which translation it's in. And so if somebody finds that verse, make sure you stick that in there so that we can enjoy the things of God together again tonight, because on my end, I always know exactly where that verse is. And then I come here and I say, did anybody know where that verse is? There it is. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. And you find the word slip in the King James Version. And when you get over to the New King James, it says, drift away. Therefore, we must give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. It is of absolute importance that you and I are giving the most earnest heed to the things that we have heard about our life as believers. Now, this is an interesting statement because to a lot of people, they're like, well, Pastor, you've taught so many different things. How in the world do we know which one of those things we're supposed to give the most earnest heed to? Well, that's why I continually say every time I come here, almost every time, make sure you get a notebook and make sure you write down the verses that you got to have. Love, I apologize. I'm going to have you read the book, the Hebrews chapter 2, because I got a phone call I have to take. Read Hebrews chapter 2 out loud.
All right. Hebrews 2. Here, whoops. I have so many screens juggled here. Hi, everybody. I can't tip my screen down or it knocks my speaker over and then it'll disconnect everything. But here we go. Hebrews 2. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. Brother Dan back. Okay. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will, the Son made lower than the angels, for he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to the angels. He didn't. He put it in subjection to us. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You've made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You've put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. We don't see it all yet. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom all are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. We're on verse 15. and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be merciful and might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people, for in that he himself has suffered. Being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And then chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all things. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. And I know I preach this and teach this all the time. I know I do. But I want to say this again to us right now tonight. If you're not making a confession, Jesus has nothing to high priest. If you're not making a confession of your faith, Jesus has nothing to be the high priest of. If you make a confession of faith, then Jesus is the high priest who is taking our confession before the Father because of his blood, his righteousness, and we stand in it, and he takes it, and he is ever living to be our intercessor and to cause us to overcome. Now, I'm going to say it again. That phone call came. I had to take that phone call. So let me say it again. This is why I tell us over and over, you got to get a notebook. You've got to take some notes. You got to write something down, because if you don't ever write anything down, how will you know if you're making progress? We don't have to turn there. We'll just put the reference in. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 26 says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, is going to come and choke out that. Not a bad person if the word is choked. It's not that you've sinned if the word is choked. The cares of this world are intense. I think about, I'll use our sister Mary right now. I think about her. She's a mighty warrior of the kingdom of God. She loves God with all of her heart. She served God. She's been that person in the community that always say God is good and God is great. And yet she's in a severe battle. Her husband's gone to heaven. That changes everything about your life. She's now in her senior years. She's got stuff she's got to deal with. And it's an intensity. And yet God, when you write it down on a piece of paper, gives you the ability to go back and look and say, wow, on that day, I did this, and I wrote this. Look how far I have come since that point. This is why I say this to you. I know some people might think, man, this guy's stuck on that issue. Well, I'm not stuck on it, but when you look at what did God say? Write down these words. Why? So that you and I can look back 4,000 years and say, 4,000 years ago, this prophet said this. Look at what has happened today. You know, when you look at that ability, pick up your Holy Bible. It don't matter what translation. Pick that Holy Bible up and you say, wow, 5,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, the book of Job was written. Look what God said 6,000 years ago. Well, now all of a sudden, you're looking at it going, wow, that's a long time ago. And look what God was saying all that many years ago. That's why whenever you get a notebook, I'm telling you, go to Walmart, buy a $1 college rule notebook and keep it beside you. Every time you start a new program, write the date in there and write who's preaching. Put the title on it. Be a good student of God's word and then write down the verses that come alive to you. I guarantee you, I'm going to do my best to give you 75 verses every night. I might not give you the reference, but I'm going to do my best to speak that much word of God every time we come together. Why? Because it is the word of God that is able to make you stand. I love my pastor, Dr. Mark T. Barkley. He can't make me stand. I love and adore Dr. Oral Roberts. I just loved the man. I loved all his crazy ways. He did everything. You know why I loved him? Because I remember back in the 80s when I was watching him, that singing group would come on and they would say, something good is going to happen to you. Well, man, just that first phrase, something good is going to happen to you, was inspiring and it was motivating. And then he would preach a message of hope. Well, thank God for Dr. Roberts. I love Lester Summerall. Hey, that's a general. Hey, get out of here, you stupid devil. Get out. He was just a general. Like Churchill, I loved him. But you can't go to heaven unless the Summerall, Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, Charles Swindoll, Chuck Stanley, or Sam Cottle. I can't get you to heaven. This word I teach can get you to heaven. And that's what you and I, that's why I continually say it. Now, listen, you might say, well, Pastor, I've missed all this time. Let's say tonight you're somebody who's never wrote down a single note the whole time we've been here. Well, be redeemed, be restored by the blood of Jesus and his righteousness, and get up and go get a notebook and write down today's date and write down some references. And when you get one that means something to you, 3 exclamation points. And then when the program's done, turn the phone off and go back and look at that verse and be careful not to let that thing slip. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, if you're thinking I come right out of the chute wide open, I come out of the chute wide open most days. Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So let's take the negatives out. It's possible to please him. With faith, it is possible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he, God, exists. You believe that. I believe it. And you must believe that he rewards those diligently seek him. Now, that's faith. You know God exists, and you know when you diligently seek him, he's going to reward you. I was sleeping today, and when I woke up this afternoon, am I really diligently seeking God? Now, you know, you might look at me and say, oh, my God, Pastor, if I could just seek God like you. Well, you know, you can't ever compare yourself. Never, 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 never compare yourself to another believer for the rest of the number of days you live. Because when you stand in heaven, none of those people you compared yourself will be standing next to you. It will be you, yourself, and you and Jesus. I love Leanne Marie Cottle. She's a wonderful wife. She is an excellent pastor. She's a wonderful helpmate. But when I get to heaven, she gets to heaven, going to be there by yourself. Our works don't get tried together. Our works get tried separately. You might love me, appreciate me, receive from me. You're supposed to. Matter of fact, we read last night in Hebrews, you're supposed to esteem me highly in love for my work's sake. But when it's all said and done, every one of us are going to have to stand before Jesus, look him in the eye and say, this is how I did with my life. Now, here's the cool thing about this message I'm teaching right now tonight. It doesn't matter if you've never had this thought before. You might say, Pastor, I've messed my whole life up. Well, you can't say you've messed your whole life up because you're here, and that means you're someone that wants God, and that's a good thing. But what you do have to say is, from this day forward, I am going to do and be different than I have ever done before. Now, what does that mean? That means that you just make a point. Well, I put the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus on everything I did before, and right now I declare in Jesus' mighty name, I will from this day forward be different than what I've done before. And you know, that's all our God asks, is when you see where you are, you grab and you go and you change and you do something different. And so let's get to our word. So get your paper out, get your pen out, put the date on it, put my name on it. And what did you title this message, love?
Overcome by speaking faith.
Overcome by speaking faith. Last night's message was to him who overcomes. That was last night's message. All right? And so just to add to what we were saying, to him who overcomes, you're going to have to speak words of faith. Because this kingdom we're in is not religious indoctrination. It's not religious observation. It's not rituals. It's not, thank God for the, what do you call them? It'll come to me, whatever it is. But most of all, it doesn't matter how much you've gone to church. It don't matter if you sang in the choir, if you had perfect attendance, taught the Sunday school lesson. None of that has to do with your Christian relationship with God Almighty. That's what you and I, as a living sacrifice, are willing to do for him. Once we become a born-again believer, we become converted, and we become a disciple. Now, God begins to say, let me use you here. But that's not your relationship with God. That's your, that would be a public place of ministry that he may put you. The number one focus of every one of our lives is our relationship with Almighty God. And it's only by, it's, say again?
You said amen.
Amen. This is really weird, not being able to see any comments or hear anything except background noise. This reminds me of the old days, sitting out at the camp on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yeah.
When I didn't have anything except a couple chipmunks sitting there looking at me. But I'm going to tell you, at the American Holiness Campground in West Branch, Michigan, those chipmunks are the most born-again, spirit-filled chipmunks you ever met. They are probably walking around with a halo now compared to the rest of them, 5 years or not. So, we studied last night, to him who overcomes. Now, let's go back again, and let's establish the foundation of our faith. Because if you don't remember where you come from, you're going to probably end up somewhere else that you didn't want to be, and that's probably not going to be what you want to have to happen. And so let's go back to the very foundation of your faith. And that would be Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And let's go down here. Let's just start with verse 1. And we're probably going to run down through we're probably going to run down through 17. 1 through 17. Brethren, this is one chapter of the Apostle Paul's writing that doesn't begin with therefore. And that's some. My heart's desire
the
and
only
prayer
one.
To God. Yeah, it's probably the only one. Prayer to God for Israel as that they may be saved. That was Paul's prayer. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. You know how many people I know in church that have a zeal for God, and in all reality, they've never been born again? If you guys wonder why I preach so diligently and so often, it's because I have so many people that I know that's going to be shocked the day after the rapture. That's alarming. I don't know if they're listening to me, but if they are, I encourage you. You must be born again, and I'm going to show it to you. Verse 3. Remember, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. You do not want to be ignorant of God's righteousness. And seeking to establish their own righteousness. Uh-oh. That's called self-righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Now, hold your finger right there and turn back about 5 pages to Romans chapter 5 and let's read it. Let's go to Romans 5, verse 17. It's a very key, important verse in your book of Romans 5. You need to have it underlined and highlighted in some circles around a couple words and underline it and point some arrows to it to let you know next time you get to this page, this is an important verse. For if by one man's offense, I'll say it again, Romans 5, 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned, Adam sinned and death reigned through the one, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace. God doesn't give you a little dabble, do you? That's what we say because we have this thing with God. Well, God, if you'll give me health, I don't have to have money. Or, Lord, it's all right if I'm not real healthy. Just give me money. We make some kind of bargain with God, like if he gave you health in your body and money in your pocket, that the lights would go out in heaven. No, he's going to give you all of it. You don't have to make a bargain with God. Can I get an amen from anybody?
Amen.
Love, amen. You're going to have to be the amen or love because I can't hear the rest of them. So
amen.
Get you some water, put you a throat lozenge in it, and get yourself tuned up for lots of amens. You got to figure out how to sound like Sunday, and Dan and Mary and John and Brother Roger. You got to have to learn how to use your voice. For anybody that's listening, you can't figure out what. Here we go.
I didn't know what you said.
I didn't either. Here we go. Romans 10:3. No, 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So our works of righteousness ended at Christ. For Moses writes about the righteousness, which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. So what are we talking about? The righteousness of the law. And yet the righteousness of the law was never able to make them righteous. All it could do was cover their sin. It never purged them, washed them away, and made them in right standing. It just covered their sins so that one day or 2 days, 3 days out of a year, they were at one with God, and he was no longer angry with them. The Day of Atonement. Keep reading. Verse 6. Now look at this verse. This is, some of you need to get Romans 10:1-17, and you need to make it the verses you study for the next week and read it out loud and then pray in the Holy Spirit and say, God, help me to get this, and then read it out loud and then pray in the Holy Spirit and say, God, help me get this, because this is the absolute foundation of your whole Christian life right here in these verses in Romans chapter 10. I know everybody's been taught that John 3:16 is the foundation. God so loved the world, gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, that's true, but you can't just believe in God. You actually got to make a profession of your faith. There's a lot of, the demons believe and tremble. You not only have to believe, but you have to speak, and we're getting ready to see it. Look at this first phrase in verse 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. God's righteousness speaks. In order to have God's righteousness, you got to speak. You got to say a word. You've got to speak. In order to have God's righteousness, you got to say some words. Remember what we just read. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Words spoken. Keep reading. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven and bring Jesus back down to us? How many times have you just said, Jesus, you could just come in my house and talk to me? I believe he will, but not because we're lazy and we don't want to study the Bible and we don't want to learn anything about him or grow in him or have a relationship with him. Will you just please come and touch everything and make it all go away, and then I can just go back to my same life? He won't do that. Many people have seen Jesus, but it's because they were diligently seeking him. Verse 7, don't it say who's going to ascend in the abyss to bring Christ up from dead? He's already raised. 8, what does the righteousness of faith say? This is what you and I, if we're going to live in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, this is what we've got to learn how to say. The word is near you, in your mouth, say, in your heart, believe. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So there's the process of salvation that you take and add along with John 3:16. With the mouth, confession is made to salvation, and in the heart, you believe that God raised him from the dead. I guess I should have just read. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Taught you the word. Would you like Jesus in your heart? If you received Jesus at an early age, that's what they taught you. Would you like Jesus in your heart? And you said yes. They taught you that Jesus would come into your heart. More than likely, they taught you to pray a prayer. Forgive me of my sin. I receive you in my life. I make you my Lord. Whatever they taught you to say. Just like we have a very specific prayer that God gave me to say every time we pray the prayer of salvation. Why? It has all the key components in it that you need to say to be born again and transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of life. It's not just words. It is very specifically appointed. Verse 10, Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made salvation. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Why? Because you're going to speak it. I believe in you, and then faith begins its process. There's no distinction between the Jew or the Greek, for the Lord is the same. The Lord over all is rich to all who call on him. Please don't have a problem with the word rich, because that's God's word. He is rich to all on him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now don't miss this next part. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? Well, the word believe doesn't just mean, yeah, I know God exists. It means, I believe you exist. I receive you into my life. I believe in this process, and I am now taking a part of it. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So somebody's got to speak the word to you. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, it might be you. It might be me. I am a pastor, but all of us are preachers. Again, a little bit, and I'm going to take a drink of coffee. I am a pastor, but all of us are preachers, ministers of the gospel. Everybody, everywhere you go every day, somebody's needing God. Somebody's needing God. I have a very interesting situation here at this truck stop, and there's a man who has MS so bad he can't even hardly walk. And I've been speaking the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus over him ever since I met him, and asking for God to give me an opportunity to speak to him. And he's, I'm like, show me when. And today I stepped up there to buy some soup. And I had no cash. And I'm like, wow. And I'm trying to get him to redeem my truck driving points when I buy fuel. And he's not getting what I'm saying. The lady next to him, the other lady behind the counter, she's trying to help him sit, and he's not getting it. And the man literally took his debit card out of his pocket and swiped it and bought my soup for me. I'm like, dude, you don't have to do that. I got enough points, or I can just get it free. And he said to me, it's just me being a good person. And as soon as he said that, I knew God opened the door. And it got me. I mean, it seriously got me down deep inside. And there was a lot of people there. He didn't have time to talk right then. I'm just like, all right, Jesus, set it up. And this is the craziest thing. Do you know where Jesus set it up that I could talk to him? In the bathroom. I didn't know better. I would say, that's not the right place, Jesus. And I was able to look at him and say, thank you, sir. You changed my life. He's like, it's no big deal. I'm just being a good person. I said, I know you're being a good person. And I declare in Jesus' name that the life of God comes to you and his blessing is on you. And that's all he was, that's all he was willing to receive, and he was heading out the door. In the bathroom of all the places. And in Jesus' mighty name, this man will be healed in his body, and MS will no longer have any control over him. In Jesus'
Amen.
Mighty name.
Jesus
Amen.
Mighty.
Now, Keen, how shall they preach unless they're sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. They've not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Look at 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You and I must begin to write these words down on a piece of paper and begin to get them on the inside of our lives. I remember the day. Well, all right. Probably not the exact day. But I remember when I was first going to Living Word and listening to Dr. Barclay. And man, this has got so much life. Jesus, help me. Help me see and know and understand exactly what this is all about. Help me get this. And I remember him saying, got to write it down. Well, we had our nurse at the school in Kentucky taught us way back then, that if you don't write it down, you're not serious about it. Her name was Edith Vandywalker, and she was about 4'8" and about 2 foot wide. She spoke to you, and you listened to every word she said, man. You knew this lady was a commander, and she was just one of those mighty, mighty warriors. And she was actually the first one that really inspired me to study the word and memorize scripture. And she said, if you memorize these verses, I'll buy you a Bible. And she bought me a Bible. And I memorized
wow.
those verses. Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. Now, let's get back to this, the statements of faith. You and I, in order to have faith working, have got to be making a confession of faith every day. Well, Pastor, how many times do I have to get saved? It's not getting saved every day. It is a declaration of the Word of God as the force in your life. Now let's go look at a couple examples of it. All right? Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Somebody shout, I love the Word.
I love the Word.
Yeah.
I love the Word.
Thank you. Joshua chapter 1.
I love the Word.
Joshua chapter 1. Let's go to verse 1 and 2. And one and two, and then we're going to run down to 5-9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Uh-oh. Joshua says, and your point? It's you now, son. Therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. I'm just going to keep reading. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and the Lebanon as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Now, he's telling him very specifically, you saw the land, you know what it is, you brought back the grapes, you were the right preacher. I heard Andrew Womack say the other day, whatever you do, don't listen to the 10 spies networks. You know, ABC, NBC, CBS, that's the 10 bad spies networks. They're the ones that give you the evil report. Listen to the message, those that are saying, we can win. We are conquering. We will win this war. America will be saved and will always preach the gospel all over the world. I know there's some really bad wickedness, but America's still the greatest proclaimer of the gospel there is in the world, and don't ever let any naysayer preachers tell you anything different. We're still pumping the gospel to the whole world like nobody else. And thank God for it. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. For this people you'll divide an inheritance, which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong. See, you're not going to be strong if you're not functioning in faith. If the only meditation you have is the meditation in your problems, you will not be strong. You'll be weak because you'll keep meditating in the problem and, oh, my God, I don't know what to do, and I got this problem, and if I don't pay that bill, and I got to pay that bill, and if I do this, and I can do that, and then I can pay that, and then I can do this, and what have you just done? You've meditated in the problem rather than in the solution, which is God your Father and the Word of God. The Word, when you meditate in it, puts life in your brain cells, life in your body, life in your heart and your lungs and your gizzard if you're married. I don't think the rest of us have a gizzard, but she does. But we bless your gizzard. You've got to speak the words of life. But see, if you're not making a confession from the word, then Jesus can't be the high priest of it. Because he can't be a high priest of doubt, unbelief, failure, fear, debt, lack, poverty, destruction. Jesus can't high priest that. He's going to say to you the whole time you're making those statements, no, no, not that. No, not that. No, not that. No, not that. Why? Thinking that stuff has no answer in it. Zero. Has zero answer in it. And so what is he going to be saying? No, speak life. That's why when I'm speaking these words to you and there's a verse that comes alive to you, that's one of those verses you've got to grab and you've got to declare. One of the things that Dr. Prophecy Barclayed over me. That was a good one. Dr. Barclay prophesied over me. Was the very first time he prophesied over me. He said, your ways are going to change. The ways of your mind are going to change. You're going to get a control on your thinking processes. The ways of your mind will become precise and accurate. Why? Because I learned to meditate in the law day and night. I got thinking about it once after he prophesied that. I really did believe that there were just people on this earth that God blessed them because they had a better degree, a better family, a better name. They had more college and all the rest of that. And just so you know, lie. None of it's true. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. But Zacchaeus was determined to find Jesus, and he climbed that tree. I don't know how a little guy climbed a Zacchaeus tree a sycamore tree, because sycamore tree's branches are big and a long ways away. But maybe he had a rope and a climbing apparatus or something. I don't know. But what was it? He was determined. I'm going to find this guy. I'm going to find out who he is. I'm going to find out this Jesus. And Jesus said, now there's a guy that's diligently seeking God. Come down here. I'm going to your house. Number one, I know you want God, and I'm going to help you find it. And number two, it's going to stretch every one of these thinking Pharisees, and that's a good thing. Let's do it right now. And Jesus did it. But see, now that Zacchaeus born again, now he's got to change. Now that you're born again, you got to change. You got to grow. You got to develop. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night. Let me give you an example. Some of you need to write it down on your notebook. Get your Bible. Sit it by your bed. Lay it on your bed. Put it underneath your pillow. Lay it beside you. Put your glasses right there on the nightstand. If you don't have a nightstand, get you a piece of rope and hang them from the ceiling. Find a way to get that Bible right next to you. Why? So when you wake up in the morning, before your mind starts trying to meditate in the day, you reach over and grab your Bible and read a verse of Scripture. Put your Bible in your bed with you so that if you wake up in the middle of the night and you say, I'm thinking about this, that, and you say, no, I'm going to meditate in God's Word because He will not fail me. And then put a spot right in here at Joshua chapter 1. Put a piece of paper in there and just write on it. Pastor Sam told me to read this verse. And then read it. Read Joshua 1, 5 through 9 and say, this is for me. I choose to meditate in this law. And Lord, I know you're going to do for me what you did for Joshua because you have no favorite children. You love every one of us the same. Every one of us. You see it over and over. I never saw it before this week. For some reason, this week I got it. You know, kind of crazy because I've been around the kingdom now for 60 years, all the days of my life, and I just got this over and over.
We just lost sound, love. Oh, nope, you were dropped. Why were you dropped? Hold on, everybody. You were dropped from the call. Try to call back in. There he is.
Am I back?
You are back.
All right. Well, I'm what's the beeping noise for? No, he's got to have a beeping noise. I'm moving out of this parking lot because I ain't putting up with this not having signal stuff. Anyways, I can preach and drive, so here we go. If the signal's so bad that I lost Blog Talk Radio, that's really bad signal. And it's very interesting. This is the business center of this little town and this county, and why you would not have cell phone signal and make sure you had it right here. It just doesn't make any sense. So if one of you want to come to the little city of Stanley, North Dakota, and become the mayor, all of us truck drivers would really, 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 really seriously appreciate your help and your blessing, because it would mean all the world to all of us who sit here and say, why is there no signal in the city? Anyways, where was I at? I was telling you about something in my life. I just got it this week. I just got it this week. What was it? Oh, over and over in the Bible, you hear the leaders of Israel say, God, I can't do that. I am of the tribe of Benjamin, the weakest tribe, and my family is the weakest member of the tribe. How many times have we heard that spoken? I mean, that's what Saul said. He was a Benjamite. He was the son of Cush. That's what Gideon said. That's what different ones all through the Bible said. And they were all of the tribe of Benjamin, the weak tribe. And over, God used the weak tribe. Why? Because in the New Testament it said, I'm going to use the simple things of this world to confound the mighty.
Yeah.
Remember that verse?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how low you might think you are, how much you might think you don't know. It's not important. Let God be God in your life, and let him make a difference. Let him be the difference in your life. Quit talking yourself down. Quit calling yourself stupid. Quit saying, I don't know. Quit saying, I never can figure it out. Quit saying any of those words. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. And guess what? Jesus is talking about you. When he's preaching and when he's saying those words, just make declaration. Jesus is talking about me. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. And just write those verses down. You can find that right there in John chapter 8 and John chapter 10. Those are both verses about the sheep. Actually, I think it's John chapter 10 are the verses about my sheep hear my voice. John chapter 10. Go there, find those verses, and begin to live in them. Begin to enjoy them. Begin to meditate in them. When you wake up in the middle of the night and your mind's trying to go to all the stuff, just get your Bible out and say, no. Shut up, brain. Shut up. I'm going to meditate in the law of God. I'm not meditating in that problem. When I wake up in the morning, that problem's still going to be there. That situation's still going to be there. And I'm not going to waste my sleeping time on that problem. Not one more minute. I am going to meditate in the law of God day and night. You know, it has to come to pass, guys, because he won't fail his word. God told Joshua, you meditate in the law day and night, and you will make your way successful and you prosperous, and you will have good success. Those are the words that are right there in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. It is where you find the word success in the Bible. It's the place you find the word success in the Bible. Now, go with me. Hold on, I got to get my desk back in the right place because I have signal now.
Well, you do have signal now. Hallelujah.
I have so much signal, I could actually be on Zoom with you. But since I'm here right now, I'm going to just stay like I am because, thank you, Jesus, I'm in a better position. And I got lots of signal. Here we go. I am in Joshua chapter 1. Now look, we did Joshua 1. Let's go back here to, there's my pen, Deuteronomy 28. Now see, he said to Joshua, meditate in the law day and night. Deuteronomy 28. Now, God himself, Jesus, talking to Joshua. All right. Now, we're going to get Moses talking to the children of Israel after God spoke to Moses. Look at Deuteronomy 28. And if you want to write the references down, this is 1 through 13. Another excellent set of verses to meditate in day and night. Why? This is the foundation of our covenant with God. David went running at Goliath and said, "You uncircumcised Philistine, I'm going to feed you to the dog." When he said uncircumcised, David was standing in the covenant. Brother Dutch did such a good job this morning when he was speaking that word about the covenant.
Yeah.
David won the battle over Goliath because of the covenant. "This day I will feed your carcass to the dogs because you have defied the God of Israel. You are uncircumcised. You do not have a covenant. And I'm not only going to feed you to the dogs, I'm going to feed all the men standing behind you to the dogs. And the whole world will know there's a God in Israel." Do you realize today in the greatest executive rooms around the world, they tell the story of David and Goliath? Here we are, 4,000 years later. It's written in a book. Aren't you glad somebody wrote a note? It is written in a book that David defeated Goliath, and even sinner men are telling the story still today, 4,000 years later, that there is a God in Israel. And David said, "The whole world will know." Muslims use it. Hindus use it. Buddhists use the story. And just dirty dog, rotten old sinners use it. Why? Because David made a proclamation. This covenant will be known throughout the whole. Deuteronomy 28. It shall come, verse 1. "It shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high all the nations of the world."
Amen.
God is going to set you high above all the nations. "Well, Pastor, don't you know, I just live in a little town. I don't live in a fancy house. I don't have a fancy car. I don't, there's nothing about me. How can God set me?" See how we let our meditation belittle us, condemn us, bring us down, talk about our surroundings, talk about our circumstances. Stop it. In Jesus' name, stop it. Wait, did I say that in love?
It was a little scary, but it's all right.
It was a little scary.
Here, you said it in love. Yes. It was a passion.
Wait, let me try it again. Let me try it again. "Get on in your crying stuff and my house and my stuff. And I don't, you know, I don't know nothing. I'm just dumb. Just, see, I'm going to say it with love. Ready? It's going to be with great love. Just stop it."
Just stop.
Did I do better?
Even.
Did I do better?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. So why are we saying all this? Because, guys, none of that is going to get you anywhere. That is meditating on the wrong stuff. Now, I know that all that stuff's going on, and you still got to solve it. I've been solving stuff now for 3 solid weeks. And like, wow. But I'm not going to meditate in this. I'm going to meditate in the law. And you can ask Sister Leanne. My phone is by the bed. My Bible's by the bed. My notebook's by the bed. My pen's by the bed. These magnifiers are by the bed. Why? Because when I go to sleep, if I wake up, I am going to have everything I need there so that I don't let myself meditate in all of these problems. Because there's no meditating in the problem that's going to solve it.
Yeah,
but
amen.
When you meditate in the law day and night, You will be like a tree planted. Now, that's how much time we got? I've lost all track of time except the sun's about to set, which must mean it's like, what, 9 o'clock?
I'm 5-2.
5-2. I don't see no brother Indians making any smoke signals, but, hey, look at there. All the lights just came on in that whole subdivision. That's pretty wild. Woo, all the street lights, boing, came on. They must come on at 8:55. Here we go. Verse 2. All these blessings will come on you and overtake you. And here you go again talking about the blessings of the Lord. Well, then be broke, busted, and disgusted. Don't be offended at me. When I get pushback when I read this, comes from people that want to stay broke and complain about it. Stop it. Let God bless you. What are you going to do with streets of gold? Oh, well, it's in heaven then, Pastor. It'll be all right. Well, just so you remember, God told Solomon to build a temple. Today's money would be $1 billion. What are you going to do with that? God told him to do it and gave him all the money to do it. Now what are you going to do? That's bigger than Brother Copeland. That's bigger than Jesse the Planet. That's bigger than, I don't matter who you name. Get over it. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the oil wells underneath of them and the gold and the silver deposit. And he wants it in our hands. Okay. Help me, Jesus. I'm doing my best to be filled with love, but I'm done with this. I'm done with broke, busted, and disgusted. I'm done with in debt, depressed, and discontented. I'm done with confused and sad and lonely and lost. I'm done with depression. Why would you put up with all of that junk that don't have nothing to do with God? You can't find it in heaven, so there's no way God gave it to you. I'm preaching better than anybody shouting glory or doing backflips. Do a backflip. Do a backflip, love. That'd be cool. Two, all these blessings. Yeah, he might knock something over. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. They're going to overtake you. That means you're going to be doing your thing, and boom, a blessing's going to overtake you. You're going to be doing your thing, and boom, another blessing's going to overtake you. Why? Because that's how our Father is. Because you obey the voice of the Lord God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Who's in the city? Rebecca and Christine are in the city. Mr. Sunday's in the city. And blessed shall you be in the field. Well, that's me. I'm in the oil field. All right? Blessed shall you be the fruit of your body. That's your children. The produce of your ground. That's whatever you do to make your living. The increase of your herds. If you don't have any, buy some. The flocks, your cattle. That's your ability to make money. Your basket and your kneading bowl. Even your food is going to be blessed. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. That literally means 24/7. God's blessing is upon you. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. That's poverty, debt, lack, confusion. That's fear and loneliness, lostness. Any bit of that, anything that's not of God, he said he's going to cause your enemies to be defeated before your face. They're going to come out against you one way, and they're going to flee before you seven ways. There they are. There they are. Can't believe it. Watch them guys buy that beer and take it right over there to their semis. That's just messed up. The Lord will command his blessing on you. He's going to command his blessing in your storehouses, in all you set your hand to. He will bless the land which the Lord has given you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people. See, if you don't realize this is the foundation of your covenant, then you're not ever going to realize everything God wants for you to have. Write it down. Begin to meditate in it. Begin to fellowship with it. Begin to study it. Begin to understand it. Write it down. Write it down. Get them out. Read them every day. Highlight them. Underline. Circle. Put a note to it. This is for you. Billy Bob, he swore it in a commandment. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. That's the fear of God, but it's also the favor of the Lord on you. The Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, the produce of your ground, the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. Pastor, you just made me tired just thinking what God's going to do for me. I know it. But think about it. You could be a blessing to somebody else because they could come along and help you take care of all your blessings. You don't have to see somebody broke, busted, and disgusted, and they have no future. Give them one with you. Why? Because the blessings come upon you. The blessings come upon you. 12, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens to give rain to your land in its season, to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will be above only and not beneath. I'm preaching better than I'm even shouting amen. Amen. Preach it, preacher. Heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. There it is. Let's go now to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1. You got to turn quick. We got a lot of verses to get to yet. Psalm chapter 1. Look at this. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of the sinner, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted. You will be a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Your leaf will not wither. That means you're going to be a fruitful vine. You're going to be producing. And whatever you do will prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. They will be able to see it. There is something different about you. You have blessing and God. I don't have blessing. You have answers. I don't have answers. I remember that one guy. I remember Dr. Barkley tells the story of the one guy who met him in the Myers or somewhere and said, "Oh, you're that Barkley guy." And he said, "I thought, why are you mocking me?" And he said, "I know him because he's one of the leaders in the community. And he's rich. And he's a drunk." And he said, "Why are you mocking me?" This is what Dr. Barkley said. "Why are you mocking me? I have answers and you don't. I have health and you don't. I have peace and you don't. My marriage is making it and yours is falling apart. Why are you mocking me?" And the man looked at him and said, "Wow, right. I don't have answers. I got a lot of money, Dr. Barkley, but I don't have answers." And he's like, "Well, then let me help you. Don't mock me. I'm the guy with the answers." That was good preaching right there, and I think it's a great story.
It was.
And don't let anybody mock you. Don't let anybody mock you. Don't let anybody condemn you for wanting to see the blessing of God. Third John, verse 2. Look at this one. This is the New Testament. The New Testament. Third John, that's over there by Revelations. Third John 2, verse 2. "Behold, brethren, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper." Write the verse down. Put an underline around it. Circle it. Highlight it. Exclamation point it. And let yourself know to meditate in this verse and get it working in my life. Preach it, Brother Sam. You're doing good. Amen.
Make it pretty and hang it up in your house.
Make it pretty. Hang it up in your house. If you can't, call Sister Leanne. She will. I wish above, look at what John said. I wish above all things that you prosper, that you be in health, even as your soul prospers. What's that mean? You got to get your mind, your will, and your emotion prospering. How do you do that? Not when you reach a great, huge level of understanding. You do that by daily getting out the Word of God and reading again and proclaiming again and declaring again the same verses that you've been doing until all of a sudden they come alive and they're down inside of you. And like, and I'm going to tell you, anytime you talk to Brother Dan about hope, he's going to give you a lesson about hope. Why? Because he meditated those verses down inside until they began to produce hope and an understanding of hope on the inside of his life. And that's how I've come to this point today. On the first day when Dr. Barclay prophesied over me, your mind, the ways of your mind will become precise and accurate. My mind was an absolute mess because I've spent every day meditating in the problem. From that day forward, I began to meditate in the answer, and God brought me answered. Thank you, Father, for the answers that you bring our lives every day. Romans chapter 10. Remember, you didn't get it. Romans 10, 6 through 17. Actually, Romans 10, 1 through 17. That's the righteousness of faith. And it says, the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Jesus, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, is the high priest of our confession. And you read in Hebrews chapter 2, Sister Leanne read it, that everything has been placed underneath his feet. Everything. And he's been given the name that is above every name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Is that a good word?
It was a good word. It is a good word.
I didn't call anybody names, did I?
No. No.
I just told them to stop it. That's all I told them. Stop it and get busy writing down verses. Wait, listen. If Jesus comes tonight, listen to me. You got to listen to those of us who are your leaders in God and admonish you. If Jesus comes tonight, you want him to see that you actually wrote some verses down on a piece of paper to say, Lord, help me meditate these. You don't want him to look at you and say, how come after your pastor told you to write some verses down, you didn't do it? Going to have a day of judgment when it doesn't matter whether you want it or not. It's coming. And every one of us, our works are going to be tried by fire. Don't get saved by works. Saved by grace through faith. By the confession of your mouth. We just read it in Romans 10. But the crown that you get to present to Jesus for dying for you is based on your works. There's some people that they're going to barely even have a Burger King crown because they never done anything for it. Don't let that be you. So tonight, write some of these verses down. Do you have a verse list tonight, love?
I do, ish.
All right. Sister Leanne's going to have a verse list.
Yes.
And whatever she's got, she'll put it in the family thread. Copy and paste it into your own phone. Well, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. Quit your crying and listen to me. I don't mean to be harsh. Copy it from the family thread. And then open up your own name in Messenger and send it to yourself. Use your phone. copy it out of Messenger, and send it to yourself in a text. Yeah, put a text in there and put your own phone number in it. And send yourself a text. And now, any scripture, thought you ever want, send it to yourself in a text or an instant message or an email, whichever one of those you work best in, and you will always have it. It'll be right there where you want it. Yeah. It will be. And then once you get it and you've taken it out of the family thread and put it into your own process, now get your pen out and write them down. Get your computer out. Type them out. Copy and paste it. And put it into your notepad, in your phone. All of these ways I have said over and over and over and over to us. Why? Because I know that when I stand before Jesus, I got to give an account of this, that I am leading you in the paths of righteousness, namesake. And the path of righteousness is you've got to be able to stay with your mouth. You got to speak it with your mouth. You got to believe it in your heart. And you have to have a confession of faith that you're making every day. David said, remember where this at? Is that, love? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I was done a minute ago. It's now 9:11, and I should be done. It's God's warning to me. Time to be done. 9:11. Here we go. Matter of fact, right there at your house, you pray it to yourself. Say this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I choose to do this word tonight.
I choose to do this work tonight.
Help me.
Help me. Amen.
Help me, Holy Spirit.
Help me, Holy Spirit.
To be a workman.
To be a workman.
That does not need to be ashamed.
It does not need to be ashamed.
That can rightly understand the word of truth.
That can rightly understand the word of truth.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
I don't know if you guys can tell, but there's a serious lag right here. Remember, go ahead.
Are you going to do communion?
Amen, right now.
Rebecca. Okay. Blog Talk is down to 14 minutes. So if you think you're going to go over that, you might want to switch to Zoom.
No, I'll still be there talking. If I was sitting back there and got disconnected, I wouldn't be able to get back in. But I got lots of signal, and I'll be fine sitting right here. It'll just keep playing now that I'm here.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. That's cool. It's your communion elements. Let's receive communion together. I apologize about last night, but hey, thanks guys for your help. We actually made it on time and didn't get docked. We were actually there. It was a good thing. Thank you, Jesus. And I needed a very specific process to happen for me today. And for all of you that's been praying for us, that process happened. Thank you, Jesus, on that phone call I took during this program. Can somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Now, if you're new to us, we read these verses out of Corinthians and 1 John communion verses, and then pray the prayer of salvation so we know that everyone is right. And then we don't have to be concerned about verse 27, drinking damnation to yourself. Because you'll be right with God. Then we give you 2 minutes worth of instruction. Then we receive the elements. We bless them. and we speak the word of God about the broken body, and we speak the word of God about the blood of Jesus. Now, I can tell there's been several times people are like, man, why are we saying so many words? Just let us eat the bread and drink the grape juice. It's not about bread and grape juice. It's about his broken body and his blood shed. And if you don't understand the verses of Scripture about his broken body, all you're doing is eating bread and drinking grape juice. And there's no spiritual benefit to bread and grape juice without the faith of God's word. There's no value to it. It's all right if it's quiet. It's true. Here we go. Ephesians 11:23. I can tell I just adjusted some people's life. Seriously. Just stick with us. You'll see it. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, broke it, he blessed it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, saying, it's the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work, his death, until he comes. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17, 18, and 19. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. And then you could say, how can that be? Because as he is, Jesus, notice that he is capitalized, circle it because it's capitalized, so are we in this world. As Jesus is sitting on that throne, so are we. We are in Christ. We are the body of, we are seated together with him in heavenly places, and he has put all things under his feet and has been given the name that's above every name, and he's given us the ability to use that name. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. Perfect love cast out fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And then we read that over here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. I'm going to read this tonight with us. He himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I declare over you, be thou made whole. Verse 27 in 1 Corinthians 11 says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Well, what's an unworthy manner? If that's you refusing to ever draw any closer to God than just crackers, and that's an unworthy manner. If you and I are just like, well, whatever, it don't matter. Just do crackers and juice. Hurry up, Pastor. Aren't you done already? See, that's an unworthy manner. That's not what this is about. People are like, well, that's just for the wicked bad sinners who went out and were very stupid and wicked this week. Don't come near the church because communion's there. No, if you've done wrong, come to the house of God and find the need that you have met. Examine yourself. Say, Jesus, I sinned. I need. Maybe you've never really gotten serious about communion and have just made a juice and bread. No, it's so much more than juice and bread. It's understanding your place in the body. And it's knowing the blood of Jesus and all of its effect in your life and how it transforms you. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. Ready? Pray this with me. Everybody pray it at your house. By the blood of, you see, not the right prayer. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting
life. And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Put your arms out and receive him like you're hugging him right now. And just make this statement. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Forgive me of my sin.
Forgive me of my sin.
Wash me with your blood.
Wash me with your blood.
Make me white as snow.
Make me white as snow.
And I will live for you every day.
And I will live for you every day.
I receive all of your grace and mercy.
I receive all of your grace.
I receive all of your love and righteousness.
I receive all of your love and righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life as a believer every day.
And live a successful life as a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen and welcome to the kingdom of God, even though there's a serious lag. Now, let me ask you a question. Did I ever send you the note, Leanne, about that has the prayer, the communion prayer in it, so you could put it on the screen?
No, I can pull the one from the website up. If you want to do that. Oh, but then you won't see it.
Well, it don't matter. You can just read it, and I'll just agree with you. Because there's no reason to keep this lag. It's very long. Like almost a 3-second lag in between each of these, and it's going to stretch this prayer way out. So if you'll pull that up where you can read it, I'll just have you read it, and then we can all agree with you, and you can just read
it
straight through. All right?
Or do you just
now, let's just talk. Go ahead.
I was going to say, or do you just want to just come to Zoom?
Oh, I don't know. That's a whole bunch of work. I'm fine where I am. I don't want anything to change. So
All right. Let's
welcome everybody that just prayed the prayer of salvation. We're glad to have you with us. Now, you might say, Pastor, I can tell something just happened on the inside of me, even though you guys are talking about, you know, notes and everything you got to do. Yes, something did happen. You just were born again. Your spirit man has come alive. That's what died in Adam. It came alive. You've been made one with the Father. The Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. You are now the temple of the Holy Ghost. Not someday in the future, not when you learn how to wear your hair white, wear the right clothes, don't say the wrong words, and don't ever dance or chew or cuss or any of the rest of it. See, all that stuff that people do, that's nothing. That's nothing. You are now the temple because you just said, Jesus, come and live within me. And now we got to help you get your temple cleansed and purified, and we got to get your soulish realm ready to receive the things of God. And so here's how it works. Get your Bible, study it every day, read the verses of Scripture we give you, these notes, like I've been teaching tonight, take them, write them down. You won't write down every Scripture every night. You can if you want. That's a good thing, because then you can go back later and check it out. But most importantly, write down the verses of Scripture that very specifically mean something to you. Why? Because those verses of Scripture are the ones that will give you life, and they will change your life every single day. And then click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. Come and be a part of everything that we're doing right here at the Community of Faith. Every night, somewhere, some way, somehow, every night, we're going to be right here bringing to you a word from God. Not every night am I going to be here live preaching, but many times you're going to begin to see that we're going to have messages from days gone by that are great messages that we want to get into the hands of people and help them get this revelation that God gave us on that night when he was teaching us. We don't have to have a whole bunch of new revelation. We just got to get the revelation he's already given us and get it established in our life. We have thousands of hours of material on YouTube right now. Search my name and then search up anything you want to talk about. It doesn't matter. Just search it up, put a title in there, and you'll be surprised. You'll see my messages pop right up with all the other preachers on YouTube, and you'll find a message, and you might start listening to it. If you get there and there's a bunch of talking at the beginning, just keep going a little bit and slide your little red dot over somewhere there. There'll be the beginning of the message. When you find it, then this is where the message starts. Put it in the comments. It'll help the next group of people who come to study that know where that is. It's a blessing to you. And all of that information, all of our messages are up there free of charge. And they're very easy to find on YouTube. You just got to learn how to use that app, and it'll be a blessing to you. I don't usually say a lot about apps, but I'm really impressed with YouTube's process. I'm so impressed with YouTube that I actually pay $12 a month so that I can get rid of all the ads, and it'll play in the background behind everything I do, because that's how I study many messages from the heroes of our faith from days gone by. And so can you, in Jesus' mighty name. Well, here we are. Are you ready? Sister Leanne, what I want you to do is just read it off the page. Don't stop. Just read it to us. And we'll all just agree with you as you read it. That way, not taking a whole bunch of time.
Well, first, Father, we thank you for these communion elements, and we bless them and sanctify them, time of communion with you, Lord. As you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today, this bread representing your broken body, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. You were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions, nothing missing, nothing is broken. Every joint is supplying in my body, from your body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer. I receive this bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name. Let's take the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. And now you lift the cup, the juice representing Jesus' blood. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed. By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father. By the blood of Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By the blood of Jesus, I have bold access to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome. By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By the blood of Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the juice now in Jesus'
mighty name.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Sister Phyllis, read our closing verses.
Oh, yes. Okay, now I have Jude here, but do you want me to read Ephesians instead?
No, let's read Jude tonight. That's a good one. That's good.
You say Jude?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I just turned back trying. All right, here, I got it. All right, I love it. Okay, verse 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment,
even
defiled
the
by
garment
flesh.
Defiled.
Now
by
to
the
him
flesh.
who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And I really would like to read Revelation 1, 5, and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I love the word of God. Thank you for letting me read that.
Amen.
I love the word of God. All right. I got to get going. You guys can hang around as long as you want, but I got to get going. And most of all, thanks for being here and being a part of this wonderful ministry. Thank every one of you for your faith. I hope I challenge you tonight to go to another level in God. I don't know of too many people that take more notes than I do, but God challenged me today myself to get serious about what I've taken down. And there's some things that I've been noting that I need to go ahead and get very, very specific about and get them into my life. I encourage you to do the same thing. I truly do. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it be with you each and every day tonight. Those of you that join us can join us in the morning. Join us. We pray for the United States of America every single day. We want to see God doing a mighty work right here in Jesus' mighty name. And we're doing our part to speak the words of faith every day. So, till we see you again, this is what we have to say. Remember this.
We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
And God loves you. And Jesus
and
is
Jesus
Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
And Jesus is Lord. Amen. And amen. And amen.
God bless you. And you be
all
careful.
Right.
Have a good night.
God bless
everyone.
You guys. Sure do love
good
you.
Night.
Thanks for being in our life. Seriously. Thanks for being in our life.
Amen.
See you soon. What do we do first?
What do we do first?